last week I had the wonderful honor of speaking up at the church I used to be the music director for, which was the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. And it was really a little bit of a task, a little daunting for me, because how do I get up in front of 500 people, three services, and bring them any comfort when a lot of those people had totally lost everything, everything in those fires? And what was amazing was doing this song and just watching people just melt into each other. Because some people were isolated. Some people had felt alone during this time. And what's so amazing about community, and that's why I was just moved to tears with what you did with those people, it's just beautiful. When you're welcomed into a community, you know, this is a place where we get to remind each other of who we are. I mean, that first song we sang, the receiving chant, it says, "If it serves my highest good, it is mine." And when we come here, we are reminded of what our highest good is. Oh, see, I've already done my good job because I'm hearing so good. Thank you. I feel complete. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. That's all I needed to do. That's great. Thank you. But, you know, the bottom line is we are reminded when we come to a place like this. You know, yes, it's wonderful that the music is great and your wonderful minister is fabulous. But, you know, it's being in a, oh, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be using this. Sorry, I forgot. There I am. So we get to be reminded of our highest good. We get to be reminded of the face of God. You know, whenever I do that song in a retreat, people just turn into puddles. You know, they just get all leaky. And the reason why is because it's like, oh, yeah, you're reminding me of who I am. I forgot, you know, in the sign language for that is, you are the face of God. This is God. Is that correct? Yes. This is God. And when I sing a lot of times, I do that. And it brings me back to that place of center. But what tends to happen for a lot of us is we kind of go off a little bit, don't we? We kind of go off. And it's really up to us, or coming to this community, or hearing a wonderful minister speak, to just go, oh, yeah, that's right. I am this wonderful gift, and I'm the face of God, and I'm just pure divinity. But we forget, and it's how we bring ourselves back. So my question to you is this: when you woke up this morning, did you look in the mirror and go, oh my God, you beautiful being of divinity, did you get more beautiful overnight? What's the deal? Did you do that? Did you go, oh, look at this body of perfection? You're laughing because maybe that's not true. You didn't do that. Or do you look in the mirror and go, oh my God, it's all dropping. What is this? What is this? Did I hear you this morning? So one of the things that I try and do with all of the songs that I write and this message is just to remind you of who you are. And, you know, I truly believe that the way you start your day is the way the day is going to be. So if you start your day going, oh my God, you're beautiful and I love you, you come from that place of love to yourself so that then you can give that love to other people, correct? If you don't have it for yourself first, you're coming from this empty well. So it first comes with you lifting yourself up. And it, for me, music does it. I mean, when I hear music first thing in the morning that reminds me, because I might have forgotten in the middle of the night who I am. And so that's why I write songs like that. Write songs like, thank you for this day, Spirit, thank you for this day. Or I will surrender to my greatest, highest good. All of these songs to start my, if I had like an alarm clock radio, that would be the first thing that I would hear is an affirmation. And I learned the power of music and the power of what you say first in the morning when I was in a hotel recently and the radio came on with my alarm. And the very first thing I heard was Linda Ronstadt singing to me, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, baby, you're no good. And then she goes, I'm gonna say it again, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. So what do you think is happening all day long in my life? What am I hearing with anything I'm doing? I just keep hearing, guess what? You're no good, you're no good. So what I try and do now is if I get that message first, I turn it around and go, I'm so good, I'm so good. But Actually, I want to teach you this. This is when your inner critic comes up and tells you anything that is not that truth of who you are, you do this. Okay? Everyone practice it. This is the universal back off to your critic. You just go, back off. You do that very good, may I just say. I know you are there, I hear what you say, but that is not my truth today. Okay? So are you ready with my little video? I have a little video just to give you just a really concrete example of how you can start your day.
Well, so I can be a shark. Now my whole house is great. I can do anything good. I like my school. I like anything. I like my dad. I like my cousins. I like my aunts. I like my Allisons. I like my mom. I like my sisters. I like my dad.
My whole house is great. Isn't that great? That's it. But I mean, here's an example. She's going, I like my hair, I like my house, I like my pajamas. And she says at the end, I like everything. I can do anything. Do you start your day like that? I can do anything. That's what it's all about. When you look at yourself in the mirror, that you say to yourself, good morning, beautiful one. You can do anything today. What is it that you want to do? So what do you want to do? And the way that I get to that every day, my spiritual practice is I put my hand over my heart and I say, what is mine to do today? Or what, you know, what does my heart have to say? Because when you start from that place of what does my heart have to say, you hear the truth. You go to that authentic place in yourself that knows what's true for you. One of the things about gratitude and about being really true to yourself and authenticity is that you have to be willing to disappoint someone every day in order to be really true to yourself. Right. Let's all just do a collective, because the truth is, to be in gratitude, to be totally in love with what you're doing and be fully present with who you are and what's happening, is that sometimes it's not going to be in accordance to someone else. Yes? So to be able to be willing to say, you know, I hear that you want me to do this, but my heart is saying I really need to be quiet today and go meditate. I need to go to church. I know you want me to go to breakfast, but I get fed by coming to church. But you said you were going to go to breakfast with me. You know, I need to go to church. I'm so sorry, but I'd like to do this instead. So I have a song I wrote years ago called N-O is My New Yes. And one of the lines from that song is, how good is my giving, how authentic, how true, when I cheat me just to please you? Back off. But I don't want to do it like that. It's in a loving way, really. But, you know, how good is my giving, how authentic and how true am I being when I cheat me just to make sure you're okay? And so, you know, the one thing about Thanksgiving and Christmas and gratitude and all these things that we're talking about now, to be really true to yourself, to be really authentic with yourself, you have to really check in first here to say, do I want to go to this party? I actually did this talk, and this woman was going, this was last year, she was going to a Christmas party, and she was all fluffed up, and she had her pretty dress on, and she had her casserole, and she's driving into the city, and she's all set, and because we had just talked about this in a woman's retreat, she was a block away from her destination, and all of a sudden she gets this knot in her stomach, and she's going, what's going on? And she did this exercise, what does my heart have to say? And her heart was going, girlfriend, you don't want to be going to this party, you want to be getting in your jammies and watching It's a Wonderful Life by yourself and having a glass of wine. That's what spirit told her. And she was like, oh my God, but I said I was going to come and I have my casserole. And she called her friend and said, you know, I'm a block away from your house, but this is what just came up for me. And her friend said, bless you that you could be that honest and not come here and put on a fake smile and be someplace where you don't want to be. Thank you for being that honest. Go home, get in your jammies, and I wish I could be doing that too, but I've got all these people coming over. So, I mean, that's one of the things I think about these holidays coming up, is to do this. this thing's, is it really true for me that I want to go out, that I want to go to this party, that I want to give this gift, whatever. But one of the ways that I got this is that I was a part of a little theater troupe years ago, and it was a puppet show, and my character was called Dr. Hart. And I had a heart earrings and heart shoes and heart smock, and my job was to go up to all the little kids that were all in the pediatric ward, and, you know, I would go up to these little hearts, and I'd say with my stethoscope, what does your heart have to say? What does your heart have to say? And I'd go around to all the little kids, what does your heart have to say? And these little lamby-poos would look up at me and say, oh, my heart is so sad because I think I'm really, really sick and my parents are so upset. And, you know, and they would say what was really on their heart. And it was just so freeing for them to be able to just tell the truth. And so I think when we start from that place, that's how our day can be that much more authentic. And you know, when you're authentic like that, you're that much more present. When you're authentic to yourself, you're that much more present, and that's what brings gratitude to me. So one of the things that I love to do for fun is I swim in the San Francisco Bay. Yes, I do, in cold water. It's really fun. And I've been a member of the Dolphin Club in San Francisco for about 35 years. Yes, I'm actually more than 22 years old. And so I've been a competitive swimmer all my life. I was training for the Olympics. I mean, I'm a good swimmer. This is what I do. And so every time we would have a race, the Alcatraz or whatever, I'd always be in the top five of all the people that came in. And thank you very much. And if I want to brag a little bit, I actually was part of the first American women's relay team to swim the English Channel. That's pretty cool. There were six of us. But every single time we would start a race, there would be this guy named George who would come up to me and go, all right, Drucker, I got you on this one. And he'd just be like, this little... And so every time we would swim, we would be battling it out. I mean, he'd be right next to me. And what was amazing is when you would do a swim like the Golden Gate Bridge, you'd all jump in the water, and within 3 minutes, you have 50 people. They're all completely spread out all over the place. But wouldn't you know it, after three strokes, here's George right next to me. And like, And we would do this every single time. We would just battle it out. So one time, we're swimming the Golden Gate Bridge, and we're doing this, and I look, and he's not there anymore. And I stop, and I look, and he's over here, and he's doing water ballet. He's like doing like this water ballet. And I swim over to him, and I go, George, what are you doing? We're in the middle of a race here. What's going on? And he goes, Karen, we are underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. When are we ever going to see this sight again? I mean, the fog and the seagulls and the... Why would we put our heads down and just try and go as fast as we can to the other side? And I went, you're right. And I started doing water ballet with him. And then pretty soon after that, all of a sudden, all these, you know, all the people that were always behind us come up, and they're going, what are you guys doing? We're going, we're doing water ballet, why don't you join us? And they're like, no, we can beat you now. And so... But my point is, I have never, ever done a swim and been in the top five anymore. I'm always at the back of the pack because I'm swimming breaststroke and I'm looking around. And I'm seeing all the wonder of the world. Because that's what it's about, is awe and wonder. That's what gratitude is. You know, on my new CD, I wrote a song called Triggered. And it's all about, I'm triggered. And it's really about... When someone says something to you and you like immediately, some of the lines are, I've gone offline, you know, someone hijacked my head and I've gone offline. And you know, when you get triggered, it's literally like the computer doesn't work anymore. All the things that you've heard and the books you've read and the workshops you've taken, nothing is available. You're like trying to get online and nothing is there. And one of the techniques for getting back online is exactly what we're talking about today. The smallest amount of gratitude will just start to just make it. Just, you're like this, it just brings it back like that. And it could be the smallest thing. I have these friends that they're a little elderly,
And the woman would just get so irritated with her husband because every morning he would make his bagel and crumbs would be all over the place when she came into the kitchen. And she said, I say this to him all the time. She would ask him all the time, can you just wipe up your gosh darn crumbs? It just bugged her. And then finally one morning, here were the crumbs. He didn't clean up. And in that moment, just like that, it was just this little gratitude where she just went, oh my goodness, his crumbs mean he's still here. His crumbs mean that he's still here. So she stopped whining about the crumbs. So when you think about the things in your life that you whine about, you know, the other thing, I have another song. I love sign language. That's why I love her so much. And I have a song called I Am Beautiful, I Am Powerful. I've let go of my past and I celebrate who I've become. In sign language, if I'm right, what someone told me, is who I've become is simply that. It's just boop. And so what we tend to do is we look at the things that we're working on and our issues and our things that get us triggered. And they're like these Gucci bags that we walk around with, you know. It's like, God forbid I have to put them down. And, you know, you go to a cocktail party and it's like, let me bring my bag. Oh, you want to know who I am? Let me tell you. Let me open up the bag and tell you all, you know, the same script. You know, what would it be like? Actually, I'll even plant a seed with you now. What would it be like if you went to some holiday parties this year and you didn't say the same script? That you actually went, boop. I mean, that's what transformation is that in a moment it can go like that. You just get that enlightenment and all those years of baggage and holding on to stuff. So I learned this lesson in a really large way with a woman that I met a while ago. I'd heard about her through a friend of mine, that she was a nurse that lived in Kansas, and she had polio as a child, and so her body didn't work right and she was overweight and she just always hated her body. And she got diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And because she was a nurse, she knew exactly what this was going to look like and how much time she had. And she just made this vow to herself, this vow of gratitude. She said, the one thing I want to do for myself is I want to leave this planet, this world, loving myself, loving my body. I've hated my body all my life. That's the only thing I'm going to ask of myself by the time I'm done, that I can look in the mirror and love myself. So she did a practice that she would stand in front of the mirror naked and have to look at her body and come up with things that she liked about herself. At the very beginning, she couldn't find any. All she saw were all the faults. But she did this practice day after day. And eventually got to a point where she was in a wheelchair and she wheeled herself in front of the mirror. And pretty soon, after doing this for quite a while, it started to change. And she looked at herself in the mirror and she said, oh, you know, I've got beautiful eyes. And look at the miracle of how I can move my hand. And I like my hair. And the miracle of this story is that she's one of a handful of people who've cured herself of ALS with the power of gratitude. She quit being a nurse and became a minister with this message of the power of gratitude. So when you think about, when you look in the mirror and you're having any issues with yourself or with your life, you think of a story like, I mean, I hear a story like that and I'm like, oh, shut up, Drucker. You know, give me a break with your little, all this inner critic stuff. I mean, that's, if she can do that, what can you do? So, it's allowing yourself to be able to every day look in the mirror and declare that you are the gift, that there's nothing you need to change, nothing you need to do. Nothing. What would that look like if you just, there's nothing you need, you didn't even have to take another seminar, you didn't have to read another book, that you allowed yourself to just know that you are fine the way you are. And all that stuff is great. You know, actually, keep playing for a second. You know, years ago, I taught a performance workshop and I had everybody go home and learn a song. And they came back and they're like, okay, I'm ready to play my song. And I said, no, put your guitar down. I want you to just stand there in front of us. And they said, no, I practiced my song. And I said, no,
I want you to just stand in front of us for 30 seconds, and then we're going to give you a standing ovation. And they freaked out. They went, well, but my song. And I said, if you think that your song is why we're giving you a standing ovation, that's, you haven't gotten it yet. We're giving you a standing ovation because of who you are. If we had each of you come up here and tell us your stories, we'd give you a standing ovation. We'd weep at your feet. We'd bow at your feet for all that you are. So it's allowing yourself to know that there's nothing you got to do. You are the gift. Like she said, open up that present. You're inside of it.
I am a gift, no matter what age, no matter how I look. There's beauty in each stage, and I am a gift, and I promise every day that when I look in that mirror, I'll say that I am a gift.
Sing that line with me, just declare it for yourself.
I am a gift, and I am a gift. I've loved really well, and every year I've lived has a different tale to tell. And I've made mistakes, and I have some regrets, but I promise that I'll never forget that I am a gift.
Sing that line with me. Just say,
I am a gift.
Here we go.
There may be times when forget the truth about me, when it seems time and youth, they're just marching on without me. That's when I might need you to find me, and ever so gently remind me that I am a gift, God's precious child. I was put here on this earth, but only for a while. So I make this vow, and I say it with love, such love. I am perfect and whole and enough, and I am a gift.
Say that with me again. Just say,
I am a gift.
And if you feel comfortable telling someone you are a gift, do that.
You are a gift.
They might need to hear it today. Somebody else, say,
you are a gift.
Let's declare for all of us, we are a gift.
We are a gift.
Go back to yourself one more time. Put your hand over your heart and say,
I am a gift.
So repeat after me. I am perfect, whole, and complete. I am perfect, whole, and complete. There's nothing I need to do.
There's nothing I need to do.
If my inner critic comes up and triggers me, I say, back off. Because I'm wonderful. I'm beautiful. And I'm fabulous. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, band. Thank you, singers. Thank you very much.